ESPN 97.7 and 100.1. Watch live on QSportsTalk.com.
Man in the mirror, right?
Aaron's request.
I can name that change. Michael Jackson song in two notes.
We're all over it.
Yeah. Man, this is a jam. This is tough, man. Like, to pick just seven Michael Jackson songs is not easy.
We should have a Michael Jackson week on the show.
You could, easily.
Yes. This is another long-distance dedication.
Yes, going out to Canada.
That's right.
I got to come out of a dog dying and then going to an up-tempo record. That's my Casey Kasem impression. Thank you.
This goes out to our good friend Aaron Solomon, head of strategy, Esquire Digital. You can find his work at todaysesquire.com. He joins us now. Aaron, always great to hear your voice. How are things?
It's great to hear you guys, state fair goers.
Are you a fair guy? Do you enjoy rides, or are you just a food guy? What bring you to a fair?
I like anything that's thrice fried.
Yeah, well, you do very well out here then.
I'm so intrigued by the Pop-Tart. Like, I want to try it.
You should.
Deep-fried Pop-Tart.
Is this your last time out here?
No, I'm going to be here
tomorrow,
too.
All right.
For Sunny 102.
Excellent. Excellent. And there are a lot of concerts out here, too. And I know you like the music, Aaron. So there's a lot for you to do. Have you ever been to the Great New York State Fair?
I have not. I've been to several, like, very large fairs. And I'm a fan. I'm definitely a fan of the food and the ring toss.
All right. Well, you got to make it down at some point. So one of these summers, we got to have you down.
My buddy and I, speaking of this, let's get into the legality of this, Aaron. My buddy and I sat and watched people trying to shoot the hoops at the game. And it's impossible. And they've completely bent the rims. Like, how do they legally get away with that? They're just stealing your money.
They are stealing your money, no matter how good you are, you know? Yeah, it's pretty bad. I think they're okay to do that, though.
They're about 13 feet high, and they're just pinched into, a level that you can't make them.
I think it's understood, Paulie, when you put down the $10 or whatever. You're like, this is just a donation. Like, this is just to have a little bit of fun and have some, my girlfriend laugh at me or whatever, and you move on to the next thing. All right, this was not a laughing matter last night, Aaron. We got to start with this Ronald Acuna situation, which was scary. I mean, you see several fans on the field getting, like, not only
hugging him.
Right. I mean, you see streakers sometimes on the field, but these fans got to him. Tell us about this situation. And I guess, is there anything Ronald Acuna could do legally? Is there anything Major League Baseball could do legally in terms of, like, keeping these guys out of games moving forward? Walk us through this situation last night.
So basically what happened last night was, as everybody saw this on SportsCenter, right? Fans got on the field and got to the point where they basically, inadvertently tackled this player they were trying to get selfies with. How is it that all of these professional franchises aren't taking care of their assets? You've got guys on the field that are making tens of millions of dollars a year, and we're letting fans get anywhere near them. Everybody was joking last week at how ridiculous they thought that it was that Inter Miami has a Navy SEAL, basically a retired Navy SEAL, walking the pitch following the greatest soccer player in the world, Messi, but with every step. If anybody would try to get on the field to get anywhere near Messi, that person is getting taken out. So here's my suggestion to all of these franchises. You got to make it league policy to say, listen, fans, if you step on the field, you're getting tased. I'm only saying that half-jokingly because what's going to happen, which won't be a joking matter, is we're going to turn on the news one night or one morning, and we're going to see a player get hurt. Remember, it was a couple decades ago that the tennis star Monica Seles got stabbed, and it pretty much virtually ended her career by some lunatic who was stalking her. We got to keep the fans away from the players. Plus, this is Major League. It's not single-A ball. We shouldn't be that close anyway.
What can a team legally do, and what law is being broken when they go onto the field?
Well, it's trespass, and it's Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball already tells you that as a condition of sale, basically terms of use of your ticket, you're not allowed to get on the field, and, of course, leagues say you can be banned for life. Remember there was something during a WNBA game, some social media star was pretending he was sleeping a few weeks ago. He had a blanket and a pillow and stuff. And they said, well, you're banned from future WNBA and NBA games. But I think it has to be more than that, honestly. I think that Major League Baseball has to start saying things to fans like, you know what? There's police dogs ready to get on the field. So if you get on the field, not only are you going to be banned, but there's a good chance that you're going to be a snack.
You know, you mentioned banned from games, and I think we've touched on this before, but how can that be enforced? Because, like, when I go to a game as a fan, like if I go to a Bills game, for instance, I'm not showing my ID. I'm just showing, like, that I have a ticket. So if a buddy gives you a ticket and you go to a game, how in the world can that be enforced?
It's really hard to enforce it, right? Which is why I think a lot of fans are like, yeah, whatever. I'd rather go and get a selfie with this player. Or even, we saw even a couple weeks ago, there was a player, I think, for the Padres that was having an argument with people in the bleachers, and they were throwing stuff at him, and there was all kinds of profanity. We got to stop. The problem is all of us have become too comfortable because of social media, feeling that we have some kind of communication, some kind of relationship with players, and some people are taking it to the physical, thinking it's okay to get on the field. It's not okay.
All right, let's switch gears.
You want to stay in baseball?
Oh, yeah, right. You've got a question.
Let's stay in baseball because this Wander Franco story kind of just snuck up on everybody where he's been accused of dating a girl that was underage. I had a couple questions for you. What is the penalty in the Dominican Republic for that, where they're investigating him? And the second question is, is it illegal what the parents did also, where they were asking for money for him because they knew this had happened?
So I will say in Spanish, yo no sé. I have no idea what the penalty is in the Dominican Republic. We could ask a Dominican lawyer, but it doesn't matter. I'll tell you why it doesn't matter. As far as the issue of what's going to happen to this guy in Major League Baseball, the one thing that we have to keep track of, we've got to remember during this whole, the next few weeks as the whole incident plays out, is that the Major League Baseball Players Association has always protected the rights of players with guaranteed money, pretty much no matter what they've done. And that's going to be the case here. No matter how egregious whatever happened, depending on both what his age was then and her age in the Dominican Republic, I don't think this is going to be the first time that MLBPA says we're not going to stand behind the player's rights as far as guaranteed money. So that's going to be what I believe is worth watching. Of course, the Dominican legal process will do what it needs to do. The suspension process will need what it needs to do here. But the question is, if he gets in big trouble, is the Players Association going to stand behind that guaranteed money? And I think they are.
If he doesn't get in trouble, does he have a future in Major League Baseball?
Well, again, like, this is a great question for an honest Major League Baseball or any pro franchise executive. Because as we saw with people, for example, Deshaun Watson, should, like him or not, like the Browns or not, should Deshaun Watson have ever gotten another contract? I mean, it was up to 50 women who had viable claims, and I believe by the time his contract was signed, he was somewhere between 29 and 32 people who were filing suit against him. Is this the kind of person who deserves any contract? Forget about $251 million. The answer to that is no. But we live in a society, and we live in a society of franchises within these professional leagues where the most important thing is talent. So the short answer is, if this guy is talented enough, he's going to have a future in Major League Baseball. There's a guy who got drafted by the Montreal Canadiens. And when he was playing professional hockey when he was a junior in Sweden, was basically convicted of the equivalent of rape. His name is Logan Mailloux. The Montreal Canadiens drafted him, took lots of heat in Montreal for doing so, and basically cleared him this summer to join the franchise. So they did that because he's talented enough, not because he's got a stellar background, because his background is anything but stellar.
All right, let's switch gears, Aaron. Let's talk a little bit of tennis. U.S. Open's going on right now. I watched that Coco Gauff match last night. She fell behind, lost the first set, came back, won the next two. A lot of exciting tennis going on right now. Speaking of tennis, give us Like, how do you think this is going to play out with the WTA tennis finals and the potential of it possibly going to Saudi? I mean, how does this, how serious is this, I guess, and what do you think is going to happen?
As we are on this interview, the WTA board is meeting. And the number one thing they're covering today is where are the WTA finals going to be held? Now, those who follow tennis even casually know that the men have a long-term deal with Torino, Italy, to hold their finals. And the women, because of remarkably poor WTA leadership and management, have to piece things together every year. The finals are in November. We're in September, and these women have no idea where they're playing, essentially, for their annual championship. The two leading places right now are Saudi. And if this happens in Saudi, we've all talked about sport washing at length here, and I've written about it at length. It would be one of the greatest examples behind what's going on in the soccer world of sport washing. And, you know, let's get at the issue straight up. One of the women who is a top 10 player, her name is Dasha Kazakina. She came out. She's Russian. She came out this year on a very popular Russian bloggers forecast. Would she and her girlfriend even be allowed into Saudi? Another issue, and I'm not even exaggerating, are they going to allow the women to play in skirts in Saudi? Because they should have to cover their legs. This is the way women's sports are played in Saudi. It would be a remarkably bad idea. But I believe, if you ask me today, because I do make predictions on the show, what's going to happen? I'm saying that the WTA will pick Saudi over Prague, which is the other finals. Prague, by the way, has a big problem. They just had a tournament in the Czech Republic, and they did not, or Czechia as it's called now, and they did not allow Russian and Belarusian players in. They would need to because they're going to be involved in the finals. So I don't think they're going to do Prague. I know from good sources that the WTA has already got PR folks that are working outside the WTA to spin this. They're going to say it's a way towards equal prize money and women's equality, and the women are going to be allowed to speak out in Saudi Arabia. None of this, of course, is true. I think the end result of this is going to be we're going to be seeing the WTA finals in Riyadh, and that should be everybody's job. Anybody in WTA leadership should be fired for this.
Lastly, Aaron, we got to get to this this crazy soccer story, right? The Spanish World Cup situation where the head of the Spanish Federation kissed the star player without her permission. He's refusing to step down. The team is boycotting. FIFA suspended him. What is the latest in what has been just a bizarre situation?
It's so bizarre that if you would have written this for Netflix, they would have laughed you out of the editorial meeting. They would have been like, it's too stupid. You can't. No one's going to believe this. So there's two bad actors here. The Spanish national team head coach, and again, for those who don't follow women's sports very closely, Spain just won the world. They won the World Cup. You know, so they are the number one team in the world right now. So the other bad actor is this man who kissed Jenny Hermoso on the stage, and this was definitely uninvited. She's like, this was like an assault. So all of the other Spanish coaches on the team already resigned. FIFA suspended this guy, and the Spanish Federation is now saying they're going to suspend him, but they've been standing behind him. He refuses to go. Spanish male soccer players are coming out and saying, there's no way, this is totally uncool. And as you said, the entire current team, plus all of their reserves and anybody good enough to play on the Spanish national soccer team is saying, no mas. There is absolutely no way that they're going to do so. How in 2023 are we still living in a world where this is even kind of okay? It's not okay. You can't do that. So I think the end result is going to be that this guy is going to go kicking and screaming. And he and his buddies now are saying they're suing FIFA. They're going to sue the Spanish Federation. But you're not going to field the team unless you get rid of this guy. And by the way, they also have to get rid of this head coach, who is bad news. So these two guys have to go.
All right, Aaron.
Can I give Aaron a homework assignment?
Sure.
Aaron,
I don't mind it. I don't know if he minds.
I want to give you a homework assignment for the next time because I don't know if you know anything about it. But Fanatics is basically now got a monopoly on my favorite hobby of baseball and football card collecting. And the next time we have you on, I want to talk about that, about how they can just own everything right now, and if Panini, the company that's kind of taking it on the chin, has any legal ramifications.
Yeah, we'll definitely talk about Fanatics next time, because I actually dove deep into them last year when they were suing Penn State and other schools for basically taking their brand. Fanatics is an example of, if you put enough money into something, a lot of power comes with it, which ties back to what we just talked about a few minutes ago. You know, sport washing, and by the way, very quickly, the last thing I want to say about the Saudis is, did you see this morning that Saudi Arabia is trying to get inclusion into the Champions League? This wouldn't be sports washing. I got a new term for everybody, sports bleaching. If you actually allowed Saudi teams into the Champions League, it's crazier than having, like, Israel and Australia in Eurovision, the song contest. How is Israel in Europe? So there's lots for us to talk about next time when it comes to Fanatics, because they're a very interesting story.
Did you really just say, Aaron, I don't know if you know anything about this?
Well, I don't know if he knew about the how Topps basically now owns the rights to all football and baseball.
He's a really smart guy, though.
I know.
He knows something about everything,
I'm
pretty sure. So, Aaron, as always, we appreciate you having you on.
The NFL broke a contract with Panini in order just to go to Fanatics. So.
Yeah. Aaron knows. Okay. Aaron knows. Aaron, thanks for coming
on. I apologize, Aaron. You're the smartest man ever.
Enjoy the fair, guys. Talk to you soon.
All right. Bye.
He is the smartest man ever. I think he's the smartest guy that we know. You can find his work at todaysesquire.com. And with that, we'll hit our final timeout. We'll wrap things up next on ESPN Radio.